So let me begin by saying this, that my wife didn't agree with how I'm about to start my message. In fact, she thought I shouldn't start it this way. So that's just a little disclaimer I'm laying out there, all right? So a guy walks into a bar. Yeah, see, that's where she had problems too. Anyways, a guy walks into the bar and he orders a beer. The bartender comes up and he gives him a beer, and as soon as he lets it down, the guy picks it up and he throws it in his face. The bartender's startled and angry, right? Immediately, the guy starts profusely apologizing and helping the guy dry off his face. The bartender says, "What's wrong with you?" And the guy says, "I got this problem. I don't know what it is. Every time somebody puts something in front of me, I throw it in their face." He says, "And then I feel terrible about it for days afterwards." Bartender says, "Buddy, you do have a problem. You need to get some help. And don't you step back in my bar again until you get some help." Months go by. Months and months go by. Guy comes back in, orders a beer. Bartender says, "No, I remember you. It may have been a while ago, but no." He goes, no, "You don't understand. Don't understand. I've been cured. I went through months of therapy. I'm all better. I've been cured." Bartender reluctantly pours him another beer, sets it down in front of the guy. As soon as he does, the guy picks it up and throws it in his face. Startled, the bartender says, "I thought you said you'd been cured." He says, "I am. I still do it. I just don't feel guilty about it anymore." That's not grace over guilt. Grace over guilt doesn't mean you can still do whatever you want to do and it doesn't matter, but then you don't have to feel guilty about it. Grace over guilt doesn't mean that we excuse all of our behavior. Grace over guilt says that there's a lot of guilt in the world, but grace seems to be in short supply. And what the world needs is the grace of God, the love of God, and the forgiveness of God, because grace is the only cure for guilt. Because, my friends, there is an abundance of guilt in our world. There's an abundance of guilt. People feel guilty about anything and everything. I still feel guilty about the vegetables I didn't want to eat as a kid. I'm still thinking about the thousands of children starving. All right. One study suggests that we spend up to 5 hours feeling guilty in a week. Now, at first blush, you say, "Well, that's not that much." But back up. You think about it. When you feel guilty, you don't ruminate on something for 5 hours. Usually you feel guilty for a minute or two, maybe a moment or two, maybe 5 minutes at the most. Now think about it. 5 hours out of your week when you're awake. That means on a very regular basis, a daily basis, you're feeling the pain of guilt again and again and again. And guilt has some adverse effects on us. Right? Guilt can send us into depression. Guilt can cause sleepless nights. Guilt can take the joy out of life because we feel that we're not deserving of anything like that. Guilt can make you avoid people. Say you have an argument with someone, even if you patch it up, right? Everything's supposed to be good. Yeah, you still don't want to run into that person because you feel a little bit guilty about it. There's lots of guilt to go around. In fact, psychiatrists have identified at least 5 areas in which we will feel guilty about. There could be more, but there's at least 5 of them. The first and foremost is guilt for something that you've done. Well, that makes sense. You did something which was wrong. You hurt another individual. You went against your own moral standing, so you lied or you cheated or you stole or you did something, and you feel guilty about that. Now, first of all, let me start. It's appropriate then to feel guilty. If you do something wrong and you know it's wrong, right, you should feel guilty about that. In fact, if you don't feel any remorse when you do something wrong, you've got a bigger problem on your hand than just guilt, right? So it's appropriate to have that amount of guilt. What happens, though, is when we won't let it go, when we ruminate on it, and we let it stick around, and it starts to control us. I've talked to any number of people that are carrying around guilt from 5, 10, 15 years ago. Something could have happened 18 years ago, and they're still carrying around that guilt to this day. It can be debilitating. Second way that we feel guilt is guilt for something that you didn't do. And what I mean by that is not that you avoided doing something. I mean you thought about it, You wanted to do something. You knew it was wrong, right? And inside, there's still the part of you that wish you would have done it, and so you feel guilty about that. You feel guilty that you even contemplated doing such a thing. Then there's the guilt for something that you think that you did. This is when we really get into irrational thought. So say that you don't like your neighbor, you don't like a coworker, right? And you kind of wish them ill will. You know, everyone else in the office has gotten the flu. Why doesn't she? And then the next day, she's out with the flu. And somehow, right, illogical, irrational, you feel responsible because you thought that about her. I feel guilty about that. We feel guilty that we didn't do enough. Maybe you're helping out a family member, a loved one, a friend. You're visiting them. You're running errands for them. They really need your help. And you're doing all kinds of things for them, but it's not enough. You feel like you should do more. You really can't do more. Maybe you don't want to do more. And so you feel guilty about that because you didn't do enough. All right, the final one is guilt that you're doing better than someone else. So this is the classic case. There's a horrific accident, and there's the lone survivor. And the lone survivor feels guilty that they made it out alive and everyone else perished. Or how about just in a casual conversation? You run into an acquaintance you haven't seen for years, and it becomes abundantly apparent quickly that you're doing a lot better than they are. And now all of a sudden you start feeling guilty about the things that are going on in your life. You feel guilty about the blessings in your life. My point is this, there's all kinds of guilt. There's an abundance of guilt out there. And the last thing that anyone needs is for someone to make them feel even more guilty. The problem is, right or wrong, the church oftentimes is seen as a dispenser of guilt. Oftentimes, the perception is the church dishes out guilt. So that from the moment that you walk in the door, you're told that you're doing something wrong or that you need to do something else. And so you're burdened with guilt. The real issue is that if that goes on long enough, guilt turns into resentment. What happens if I perceive that someone is, quote, making me feel guilty, or some institution is making me feel guilty, the classic guilt trip thing. Guilt is such a negative emotion. I'll move from guilt to being resentful of that person or that institution for making me feel this way. The fact of the matter is, guilt is a terrible motivator. If your only motivation to change, your only motivation to do something right is because you don't want to feel guilty, that's a terrible motivator. So much different from the motivation of wanting to and desiring to. So there's lots of guilt. There's an abundance of guilt that's out there. And there's lots of negative things that are associated with guilt. Grace, on the other hand, seems to be in short supply. Grace is an undeserved love. We think of the love that God has for us. It's a love that's not based on anything that you do. It's not based on anything that you don't do. It's just simply love which is freely given. So it's undeserved. Now, first of all, let me be clear. Grace is not excusing. So grace isn't about excusing behavior. Grace isn't about, well, you keep on doing whatever you want to do, but you no longer have to feel guilty about that. No. Grace isn't about diminishing it, saying, ah, it's not that important, it's okay, don't worry about it, right? Grace isn't about, well, can't we all just get along? What we really need to do is we all need to just love one another and everything will be okay. No, grace is serious business. Grace is serious business. So follow with me at this. If grace equals undeserved love, which means we don't deserve it, can't earn it, right? But if all of my behavior is acceptable, if everything is okay, if nothing is ever considered wrong, and there's nothing that I should ever have to feel guilty about, then I don't need grace. Because I can be loved on my own merits. There's not a person here who believes that. There isn't. There's not a person here who believes that everything that you do is fine and hunky-dory. Every single one of us knows and regrets some of the choices we've made, some of the decisions we've made, some of the words that we've spoken, the people that we've hurt, right? The things that we've done. We all know that, right? So it doesn't hold business. That's why grace is a serious business, because grace is the cure for guilt. God's grace is the only cure for guilt. Because what grace says is that I can't go back and do something about what I said or done. I can't make up for the things that I've said and done. Which means somebody has to come and rescue me. Somebody has to do something for me. I don't deserve it. Can't earn it. That's grace. Take a look at John 3:16. You want to know how serious grace is? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now that's serious business, folks. If we're in such a predicament that God has to sacrifice his son for us, I think that's serious business. This can't be just fluffed off. We can't just say, well, do whatever you want, but you don't have to feel guilty about it anymore. That's not what grace is about at all. It's serious business. It cost God his son. And then listen to this from John's first letter. He says, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The fact of the matter is, we can't will it away and we can't wish guilt away. It has to be washed away in the blood of Jesus. The cure for guilt is grace. The undeserved love of God the Father sending his son into the world. The undeserved love of Jesus, of laying down his life for us, of spilling his blood for us, of taking the punishment from us, for our sin, to wash away our sin, and then to remove our guilt. If we're trying to convince ourselves that we don't have to feel guilty about anything, that everything is acceptable and it's that big of a deal, that's just it. We're fooling ourselves. That's what John says. He goes on to say this. He says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth isn't in us. We're just fooling ourselves, right? Instead, he says, this is what we need to do. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that's what grace is all about. Grace says, you know what? It's safe for you to open yourself up. There's a God who loves you regardless of what you do or what you don't do. So you can open up your heart and your life to him. You can tell him of the things that you've done and said. And he says, when we do, God forgives us all of our sins. He wipes out all of our unrighteousness. And when the sin is gone, so should be the guilt as well. Grace is the cure for guilt. That's why it's grace over guilt. It isn't that we don't feel guilt, we do. But the only cure for it is the grace of God. I believe here at Risen Savior that grace permeates us, that we feel the warmth and love of God, that we know about the forgiveness and acceptance of the Father. This is a place that's filled with grace. Take a look at Paul's letter to the church at Rome, and I think these first two verses, I think they describe mostly us. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. And then I love this line, outdo one another in showing honor. That almost has a competitiveness, doesn't it? Let's see if we can outdo one another in showing honor to fellow people. Can you imagine that the power, if we could hit this 100%, that everyone who walks through those doors feels genuine love and warmth? If everyone that we encounter out on the patio senses that everybody's trying to outdo the other person in showing me honor and respect and dignity. That's what a place that is filled with grace is all about. Because everyone who walks through those doors, including you and including me, at times have heavy, heavy burdens we're dealing with. But let this place be a place of grace where the burdens can be lifted off of them, where they feel the warmth of Christian fellowship and love and the genuineness of that. From the first smile to the last handshake, risen Savior is a place of grace. Because it's grace over guilt. There's an abundance of guilt in our world. Grace seems on a short supply. But grace is the only cure for guilt. For grace, it washes away sin in the blood of Jesus. And in that forgiveness, it washes away the guilt as well. Grace over guilt. Let's keep risen Savior a place of grace. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, your grace is truly amazing. Why you would love us, certainly we don't deserve it and we can't earn it. And yet you shower us with your love. We pray that we now could be vessels of that same kind of grace and that we could show that grace to all who we encounter. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.